Changes. Changes.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes going on. Hopefully, it should be real ones with the Sixers. We're on Daryl Morey watch. I think he should be fired. Crazy. I expect him to be fired, and I'll be disappointed in Josh Harris again, like I usually am, if he doesn't fire Daryl Morey. Where do you come down on Morey? 215-592-9494 as we unpack the end of the Sixers season. But here, when I say things like changes, or we say things like changes, the word, it's not just about the Sixers. It's about all the teams, really. But one big change that we're about to start seeing in practicality, right? We know about it. We've heard about it. We've talked about it. He was going to be the Eagles' offense,
hey.
And the change in what we expect. And I don't mean in terms of statistics. I don't mean in terms of like championship. I just mean in terms of how it looks. We expect the offense to have a real change in the way the passing game, Hugh, looks. And it's interesting because there's a lot earlier this offseason that was not very flattering out there about Jalen Hurts, right? Mm-hmm. We saw the story. We talked
a lot of reckless, a lot of bad talking about him, talking besmirching the man's name.
Yeah, a lot of besmirching, right?
Besmirch.
And, yeah, and that happened over at ESPN. We unpacked that story, and it was not a great look about Jalen Hurts and his reluctance in the past to change and to do what they want him to do. Well, Hugh, as things have pivoted, right, we're out of the offseason now. We're into the point where they're doing their workouts, and we're a couple weeks away from their minicamp and the mm-hmm. OTA and all that. I think you and everyone will like to hear this. Could we hear Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, over the weekend talking about Jalen Hurts and what he's thinking as he gets ready to work with Sean Mannion here?
What can you tell us about how Jalen Hurts has approached this offseason?
He's approached it full bore. He's been working out off-site on a practice field with some of his receivers. Devontae Smith has shown up. New veteran Elijah Moore, who joined the team recently, has been out there working out with Hurts, who's trying to get the steps down for his new offensive coordinator, Sean Mannion, who's going to have him under center more, play action similar to what you saw with Green Bay. So these are pretty drastic shifts compared to Hurts. What he wants to do, what his preference has been in the past, is to be under shotgun. But I'm told from a team source he's been more open than he ever has been to those sort of monumental changes, and he really likes how Mannion has structured the offense so far.
Hugh? That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It does sound like good news.
I'll tell you what, this is the first time since I've been here where there's been a new coordinator that it feels like Jalen has embraced him. Not saying that he hasn't embraced the other ones, but it feels like there's more of an effort to a conscious effort to let everybody know that he's embracing it. Because, you know, he's had a couple of press conferences when I was here, and you know, he was talking about the OC, and it didn't feel like he warmed up to him as much. You know, and now you're hearing, and to be honest, this is the first time that I've heard of in the offseason that he's working with the receivers. So that's a positive. That means he's here working with the guys. So that's always a positive, because that's what, you know, that's how you get your timing down. That's how you get comfortable with the receivers that you're throwing the ball to. So, I mean, that's good. Good
for
him.
Let me ask you a question. And this is good. I mean, the idea and the story that, and look, Jeremy Fowler, let's be fair, right? Jeremy Fowler was the one on the original story we talked about. He was one of the authors. It was him and Tim McManus that wrote the story about Jalen basically being a pain in the neck, right? And then being tired of him having all these preferences and strong will and all that kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. and they're tired of it, right? That was the story in April. It's the same person, Fowler, that's now saying, hey, Jalen has really been receptive to the new offense and what Mannion wants to put in. So that's great. That to me, that signals there is a change there in maybe the way Jalen Hurts is approaching this. That's a good thing. I think we're in agreement there. The question is, do you expect this to last? Are we getting a new Jalen Hurts this season? Because it's one thing to be receptive of, okay, I'll go along with the changes. But what we've heard in the past was, Hugh, and it's part of that original story, was Jalen will kind of go along with the new stuff. But once it doesn't work, he kind of wants to go back to what he knows. And to me, that is going to be the question this year. Not like I expect this. He should, especially considering the situation he's in with his contract, he should be open to this, right? Mm-hmm. They're buying into Mannion. They hired Mannion. I expect Jalen to go in and be a good student to start this off and throw himself into this and say, let's go, Sean, and try this summer and the spring.
Yes.
But what the question is, during the full season, do you expect him to stick to it? Or is it like we get to week four or week five, they're struggling, and he didn't want to do these things anymore, and then it becomes that friction that we've heard about in the past. Do you expect a new Hurts for the full 2026 season?
Yes, I do, because there's a lot tied to this, Joe. You're talking about new contract, you know, the fact that, you know, you want to bounce back. You want to change the narrative. And this is what I was talking about a few weeks ago when this story came out, is how Jalen really can't change the narrative. I mean, he can't change it because there's no games to be played. But this is a step in the right direction when you talk about having people talk about the fact that you're working with the receivers. Like I said, I don't recall that ever hearing stories about that in the past. Not saying that he hasn't done it, but I don't recall there ever being a conscious effort to talk about him and the work that he did with the receivers in the offseason. So that's a positive. The fact that he's embraced this offense as quickly as he has. Because I've seen press conferences when he was talking about the offensive coordinator, and he just seemed indifferent. You know, when he talks about him or he'll talk about how he's had a different coordinator every year. So to go into your new job, your new coordinator, embracing everything, I think that helps you. That helps put you ahead of the game a little bit. It also helps you when you have those moments where you want to regress back to the mean and do things that you used to do, that by doing these reps and believing in your teammates, it allows you to advance that and work through that.
Well, there is. We also have Troy Aikman here talking this morning on ESPN about Jalen Hurts and what his expectations are in the new offense.
He's a quarterback who likes 2x2 set receivers and guys coming off the ball vertically, a lot of throws outside the numbers. And I think that with where they're going this year, that it will look different. And I think that there'll be more asked of Jalen Hurts to work the middle of the field, to maybe line up under center a little bit more in the play action game. And that's an offense that I'm a big believer in. When you look around the league at the offenses that are really having success, the San Franciscos, the Dallases, the Green Bays, those type teams, tying it in much like it was in the 90s. It seems to be swinging back in that direction. And I believe Jalen can do anything that he's asked to do. I go back to early in his career. We had them in the playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. It was Jalen's first year as a starter.
I remember the game.
They did not play well in that game offensively. They really struggled, and they needed to be better throwing the football. And the very next year, it was remarkable the turnaround that we saw from that passing game and from Jalen Hurts. So what that proved to me is that he's a quarterback who puts in the time to do everything he can to be his best. And so whatever he's been challenged with this offseason, I fully expect him to come out and play the kind of football that we're accustomed to seeing him play.
All right, so I think it's an interesting perspective there by Troy Aikman. Obviously, he's an ex-quarterback, right, a really good one, and mm-hmm. a guy that had different offenses and all that kind of stuff. And he referenced, you know, Jalen getting better from the 2021 playoff game where he did not play well and then became an MVP candidate in 22. There was a little bit of a difference between now and then, though. Mm-hmm. It was the same offense. They were bringing back the same offense to 21 to 22. He just had to get better in it, and he got way better in it and was great that season.
Yes.
This is a brand new offense. So to hear, I think he's going to embrace it. I'm with you on that. My question is he going to be able to do it the way they want him to do? What I mean by that is players have tendencies, right? Like every player mm-hmm. in every sport has tendencies. Some guys go left in basketball. Some guys swing at outside pitches. We've seen it for years with all these different athletes here. Jalen's tendency is to hold the ball. He holds the ball. And in this offense, you need to get rid of the ball quick and on time. So I'm kind of with you in that I think he's going to embrace it. I think he's going to throw himself into it. I think he's going to say, I'm in, Sean. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. But I need to see it to believe it that he's going to execute it well. If it's a timing-based offense, and he doesn't typically throw with timing, right? That's not his game.
Mm-hmm.
I question how it's going to look. Not that he doesn't try, not that he doesn't care, not that he's going to push back. I think he's going to do what they ask. But I question if it's going to be a new Hurts, because I just wonder if his tendencies, he'll line up with what they're going to ask him to do when the ball is snapped. Jalen, 1, 2, 3, throw. That's not his tendency.
Well, that's why he's here working on it.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to break those tendencies.
Before you go on, can you break it until the bullets fly for real? Like, to me, it's one thing to do it in practice when they're sitting there and no one's going to hit him. There's no one chasing him.
Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
I mean, I won't know until it's week one, right? And whoever it is.
It's going to take time.
Oh, yeah. It's training camp.
It's going to take time.
That's important.
I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, no question about that. It's one of those things but it can be done. I mean, it's not something where, you know, you want to revert to what you know, but it can be done. You know, it's one of those things where you just have to do it enough that you get comfortable with it, and you have to be okay with failing at it at first, if that's the case. If you get, because I look at it like this in the San Diego game. Even though, you know, most people look at that and say that was a bad game, he did take chances with the football.
Five turnovers.
No, I know he took but he took chances with it.
He threw it over the middle.
He took chances with the football. He just has to be comfortable with the guys being in the position when he throws the football.
All right, so the other part of this is how long will it take, right? Like, new Hurts this year, to me, means it's going to work, and it's going to work quickly. I read last year there was a book about the Shanahan tree, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the parts of the story was about Kyle Shanahan and when he went to Atlanta to work with Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And I think we remember the end of the story and not the beginning. Their first year was very choppy together. They went 8-8. Ryan threw 16 interceptions. He didn't seem to love it. And then after that first season together, they kind of smoothed out what they needed to smooth out. The next year, that's the year, Hugh, you've referenced, like you were in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Falcons go to the Super Bowl. They're up 28-3. Matt Ryan wins the MVP. Like, Matt Ryan adjusted, and Matt Ryan became an MVP in this offense. But it wasn't the first year. The first year was very choppy. So Jalen could do this, and I think he's going to throw himself into it. I'm just skeptical it's going to be a new Hurts this season. Kyle, where do you come down on new year, new Hurts, or new year, similar Hurts?
Well, I don't know why we would need a new Jalen Hurts. He's Super Bowl MVP.
It's a Sky Marshall.
Yeah. That's great. So I actually do – I expect Jalen Hurts to embrace the offense, try to adjust. I guess you can say a new version of Jalen Hurts. That doesn't mean that new version is going to be good. Like, I do expect him to give it a go. Does that mean
the old college try.
Does that mean I think that he handles it well? Not necessarily. I think I'm in the camp of need to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
But I do buy when people say, like, Jalen Hurts is embracing it or that he's, you know, I think Jalen knows as well as we do how important of a season this is.
Of course.
So I don't really envision any sort of hesitancy to buy in, because I think he knows that his success probably hinges on, you know, it kind of reminds me in a way of a few years ago when we got Gannon out of here and Vic came in, and there were some young guys on that defense who, you know, their careers were not contract-wise, but at a sort of inflection point, like people's opinions of them could have changed a lot based on the next season they had. And really, they had no choice but to buy into what Vic Fangio was selling.
And they did.
And they did. And it worked out for them. So I think Jalen Hurts will approach it with a very similar mentality. Do I think it will work out successfully for him? Not necessarily. I think I'm a little skeptical, but I do like the fact that I believe he'll be open to it.
Yeah, I think that's one box I think we're going to be able to check. Will he throw himself in and give Sean Mannion the go to let's do this? I think he's going to. I think that's it's a great report from Jeremy Fowler that they're starting on the same page. I guess I'm in the need to see it to believe it, that it works, that it looks right when the games start, that it looks smooth and not choppy.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that with the talent that we have here, it'll probably be an easier leap because you have so many. I'm hoping. Let me just say that. I'm hoping.
Hoping for what?
I'm hoping that with the guys that you have here and they've been worked together for so long that the transition will be a lot easier, will be a lot smoother.
Like Devontae, you mean?
Yes. I'm talking about the offensive line. I'm talking about everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, Dallas and the offensive line and Devontae.
The talent that you have here makes that transition a lot smoother. And I feel like the best course of action for this team is you have enough talent that you could run a – I'm assuming that you can run a somewhat simplified offense, that you can implement more stuff in as the weeks progress, you know, just so that the quarterback – like, say, the first couple of weeks of the season, just to get the quarterback comfortable doing what he's doing. And as the season progresses, you start to throw a little bit more at him, kind of like what the Chicago Bears did with their quarterback. You know, they throw everything at him at first and then, you know, give him plays that allow him to have success. And then as the season progresses, start to throw more and more at him and let him do more in the offense.
Well, and look, by the end, Caleb Williams was playing at a super high level.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was balling.
Yeah,
he was balling.
And they went to the second round. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, your take on this. Fowler saying Hurts fully embraced the new offense. Do you expect a new Jalen Hurts? I mean, that really is what we were looking for, a new and improved. Well, they definitely need to improve because he wasn't good last year. A new and improved Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to embrace it from a mental perspective. I need to see it to believe it on the field when they start the games. I mean, that's the most important thing. And Daryl Morey, should he be fired? Do you expect him to be fired? We're on Morey Watch here to see if Josh Harris actually has a spine and gets this guy out of here. Let's go to the HR Godfather in Washington Township. What's up?
Hey, I'm of the camp that Jalen Hurts came out of college. We knew his strengths and we knew his weaknesses. Great leader, hard worker, all of those things. But we also knew that he didn't throw the ball over the middle. He was not a timing passer. I don't think that's going to change in a new offense. He is what he is. I have no doubt he'll try it. I just don't think he's got, after all these years of playing quarterback a certain way, that all of a sudden he's going to be comfortable throwing the ball over the middle, having receivers get the ball quickly out of his hand instead of holding it indecisively. That's, I appreciate you's optimism. I just don't think that we're going to see that.
And I appreciate your pessimism. Yeah, we're good. We're all in the same. Yeah, we're good.
I mean, it's one of those, like, can you teach an old dog new tricks thing, right? He's very established. I mean, he's played quarterback for a long time, right? You go back, I mean, he started as a freshman in college. I mean, then we're talking about probably, what was that, 2017, 2018? He's probably been playing high-level football at that position the way he's played it, Hugh, and with a lot of success for 10 years, right, when you add the NFL to the college game.
Yeah.
Like, he's played a very particular way for a decade. In the SEC and now in the NFL, Hugh, I don't think it's going to be like a snap your fingers and he switches. Yeah, go ahead.
If I may, there's muscle memory and there's mental memory, and I don't think he could overcome the both of them.
I think it's HR Goff, a good phone call. Hugh, how long do you think it takes it to click if he's going to do it and he's going to become proficient at it? Because I just mentioned, you know, Matt Ryan really struggled for a year with Shanahan's offense. They went 8-8.
There's a possibility he can struggle.
Yeah,
but he has to show some growth.
All right, let's just use the Ryan example.
Yeah,
Ryan threw 16 picks. They went 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
The next year he won the MVP. If Jalen has a year like that, he's not even going to be here next year.
I think they're
right. Like
I don't necessarily believe that to be true.
Wait, hold on.
Listen, I understand. Like, here's...
Let me ask you a question. If Jalen throws a pick per game and they go 500, you think he's the quarterback next year here?
Joe, I don't think they move on from Jalen. Like, I know what you're asking me, and I know the ramifications of everything, because you got no money left on this deal as far as, like, guaranteed bread. I know that. But I think if he shows real growth in his offense, you have to extend him. Now, I don't know what that extension looks like. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what kind of money he would command in the sense if he's coming off of that season where he's thrown 16 picks. But I don't think you can move off. I don't think you can move on from him if he shows growth in that offense just for that simple reason right there.
What
because you're talking about the growth in the offense the next year.
That was a tough one. I'll leave you be on that.
The growth in the offense for next year. I don't think you can move on from it. And I know that sounds crazy, but now that we're sitting here thinking about it, that'd be kind of tough.
If he has 17 picks, he's out of here, guys. Let's just call this for what it is. I don't know
if I'd go out of here, but I do go, like, the wheels start to be kicked in motion. Like, they either get a guy in here who legitimately
maybe push him, not
Cole Payton fifth round type. Yeah, but then maybe push him.
Yeah, but don't we have a line of the end of the season for a contract? I mean, he's not going to play.
See, that's what I'm saying.
He's not going to play maybe, in 27 without a contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Joe. There has to be growth in this offense, and I feel like what he's doing is putting himself in position for it to be that, because you know there's going to be growing pains. I mean, you'd be silly to think that.
I agree with you.
It's going to be growing pains, but I think there's a way that you could structure this offense where you can have success and grow at the same time.
So look, we're on schedule alert here, right? We got a big one yet. We'll talk about it later in the show for when they're going to play later in the season on a holiday. When the schedule comes out, and we'll have some more leaks the next couple of days, we might know the opener, who knows, but we're going to know some things. But you know what's really going to play a big role into all this? Who the first four games are. If we all agree, it might take some time.
You want to try to get that soft part of the schedule.
Yeah, right. I mean, if
you don't want no buzz saws, you don't want like the Dallas Cowboys right out the gate. Well, right. We're not going to get them right out the gate, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we could get them early, but we know we're going to get them on Thanksgiving. But whatever, like whoever, that first month is going to be a big thing just to figure out, can they get their feet under them in a brand new offense?
And I think that's why it's important that Jalen's working with the offensive coordinator now. I think that helps. I don't know how much Matt Ryan worked with Shanahan when he was there.
I'm sure a lot.
At the beginning. But it kind of helps with that. You got your receivers in. You got your core guys trying to get this offense down, trying to get the terminology down. I think that helps. I think that helps a lot.
Yeah. Like I do think, and it's a great report from Fowler, that he's embracing it. I'm in. I that's great. That makes me feel way better about this thing that Jalen's embracing it. I expected that, though. I would have been surprised if he came into a critical season for himself and the team kind of with his arms folded. I think this is Jalen Hurts is too much of a pro to not embrace this. He's good. This is what they're doing. This is the team. He's on the team.
Yeah,
he's the quarterback.
Kind of foolish not
he
to.
Would be. And so I expected it, but it's great to hear. As far as how he will look in it, yeah, I need to see it to believe it. I need to see how long it takes him to go from a certain way of playing for a very long time, and he had a lot of success with it, to now like totally different. Instead of holding the ball for a long time and making a play, it's get rid of that football.
Get rid of the ball. Get rid of the run.
It's like night and day. And we shall see. 215-592-9494. Do you expect to see a new Jalen? Hugh does. All in on new Jalen Hurts. And Daryl Morey, do you expect him to get fired? Should he get fired? I mean, it's clear he should get fired. And I expect it. I think Josh Harris would be crazy to bring Daryl Morey back. All right, coming back on the other side, your phone calls. Plus, we want to we're going to get to something on the Sixers. Something I'm interested to see where people come down on this angle of the Sixers offseason when it comes to one particular player. We'll get to that. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The playoffs are here, and unfortunately we're not in them anymore. But hey, every game matters, and Fanatics Sportsbook is their way. They're there every moment for the playoffs. Here's the deal, people. You guys have heard me talk about fan cash. And remember, every time you bet with Fanatics Sportsbook, you're earning up to 10% fan cash, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still stacking fan cash. Fan cash unlocks value you can't get at other sportsbooks, folks. Like, you get more bets, a limited profit boost for your favorite player props, authentic NBA gear, game tickets, and access to exclusive Fanatics events like Fanatics Fest in New York City. But that's not the only play, people. The good times roll on with Fanatics Fair Play, an injury protection policy that turns losses into wins. That's right, if you love player props, your legs are protected against the entire first half of every game if an injury takes place. So if your guy goes down, boom, you're getting your money back or your parlay plays on. Make the switch to the sportsbook that gives you more to play with. Winning hits different over here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Ashley Sullivan joins the show coming up at noon today. We'll unpack the end of the Flyer season. What's next? Should be a very interesting offseason. I saw some quotes from Michkov talking today, so we'll unpack that with Ashlyn and where this team goes next after a really promising end to their 2025-26 season. All right, that's coming up. We'll get back to your phone calls on both Daryl Morey and of course, Jalen Hurts here. Do you expect a new Hurts? Some good reports. Jeremy Fowler saying he's embracing the new offense working here with Sean Mannion. He's throwing himself fully into it. Do you believe we're going to see a brand new Hurts this year? Hugh Douglas does.
Yes.
I need to see it to believe it. I think he'll buy in. I think he will give his effort. We'll just see if he can do it in practicality when the game start and kind of take away all those years of playing one way and playing a whole different way now. We shall see. All right, before we get there, though, a little hypothetical, Hugh, for you.
Hypothetical.
Okay.
Hypothetical.
A little hypothetical about, let's say, Joel Embiid and his future here. Now, we know it's going to be challenging. In fact, before we get into it, let's talk about the challenge of moving Embiid. Brian Windhorst on ESPN was talking about Joel Embiid and talking about his future in Philadelphia. Can we hear Brian Windhorst, Kyle, about Joel's future and where it goes from here?
Well, let me say that I do think this was a success because they beat the Celtics in that first round series with the comeback. Embiid was awesome. They hadn't beaten the Celtics in 40 plus years. It's a little bit worrying to hear him say we came into the season thinking he was about done, considering he has 3 years and $192 million left on his contract, which is a new extension, which will begin next season. Mm. And that is why I can promise him he will definitely be back. He is not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. The Sixers do have a couple of free agents, Kelly Oubre, Quentin Grimes, that they have to deal with. But, you know, with him and Paul George locked into enormous salaries, this is going to be a team that's going to mostly have these guys next season.
That enormous word really hurts.
Yeah,
enormous.
Yeah. He kept it a bean, though. Enormous salary.
All right, let me ask you a hypothetical, because I think we're on the same page with Morey that we would both move on from Morey, but you think he's going to stay. I expect him to go. But all right, so we're on the same page. We would move off of Morey. Hugh Douglas, would you bring back Daryl Morey if it guaranteed you? Like if Josh Harris goes to Morey and says, Daryl, why should you keep your job? And Daryl says, Josh, before you do anything rash, I promise you I can get off Embiid this summer. I could trade him. Would you keep him? Would you keep Morey if he promised you he could dump the Embiid contract?
No.
Wouldn't.
Nah.
So you'd rather have Embiid for the next 3 years than Morey?
I would rather have Embiid. I would try to figure out, like, to me, this team would be better if you let Embiid know he's probably going to be one of the richest, most expensive part-time players.
The new Bill Walton? The end of his career?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what he has to be. You got to find somebody younger that can come in and give you those minutes in that defense that he can't give you. That's what you have to find. And the thing is, I don't know how you're going to find that. You're going to find it in the draft because you don't have the money to go out and get a big name free agent. So you're going to have to find somebody like that. And that's the tough part. You know, when they were talking about this team and you're talking about these contracts that they have, it's going to be hard to upgrade this team, but that's what you're probably going to have to do.
It's going to be very hard to find that. Now, look, Tyrese Maxey was drafted around the pick that they have, their pick this year, number 22. It's not impossible. You could find a real contributor, a really good player at number 22. The odds are small, though, right? Like, most players taken that the 22nd pick in the draft don't amount to much in the NBA, let alone as impactful as you're hoping. So, all right, that's an interesting. So Hugh, would you rather keep Embiid and let go of Morey than even if Morey promised you?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
You know, as much as I want to move off of Morey, and I do want to fire him today, if he did promise me he can move off of Joel Embiid's contract today, that's pretty enticing to keep him around. I mean, I would
call you gullible. Because what has Morey done?
Oh, hold
to
on.
Make
well,
you
hold
feel
on.
Comfortable
We're living in a hypothetical world. Here.
Yeah, like he promises you.
Of course, it's gullible to think that.
I hear what you're saying, but with Daryl Morey, I mean, he hasn't really been upfront, truth telling.
Well, I remember what did James Harden say?
He's Daryl Morey's liar. That's right. All the way in China.
He hasn't been trustworthy.
Those poor kids at that camp are like, who's he talking
about? Who are you talking about?
Daryl Morey's a liar.
He was allergic to hypotheticals sometimes.
I know.
No, I'm not allergic to it. It's just that I hear what you're saying, but with him, he sat there and tell you, hey, promise you I'll get rid of the big fella.
No,
you also promised me if I squinted my eyes really, really hard.
No. It's a guarantee. You're not living in the hypothetical world with us.
But
I hear
if it
you.
Guarantees you
okay,
a beat
I'm,
off
I'm
the
walking,
team.
I'm walking with you.
Walk with
I'm
us.
I'm walking with you.
Okay.
No, still not. You got to go. You got to go.
So I understand where you come from on this. I just, if we bring a new GM in and he can't get rid of Embiid, it's going to be very hard for anyone to fix this team. I'm ready to move off of Morey because I don't want him to do any more damage. But I would consider keeping him if he promised me he can get off Embiid. Now, the problem with the promise with moving off of Embiid is the only way I could see someone taking him is if the Sixers attached first-round picks to get rid of him. And then doesn't it almost cut your nose off to spite your face? Right? Like, if you trade Embiid, but you also have to give the team you're trading him to two or three future first-round picks,
then you
can't build around Maxey, right?
Yeah,
and Edgecombe because you don't have any picks anymore.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It really is. It's
you what they call hamstrung.
Completely hamstrung, thanks to Daryl Morey, of course. Kyle, would you keep Morey if he promised you Embiid out?
You know, I don't think it's worth it.
I was just saying, I mean, the only way you'd probably be able to dump him is if you attach your own first-round picks.
Like, I almost feel like a better scenario is get somebody else in here who we can talk ourselves into having fresh eyes or at least see this picture come together in a different way. Like, I almost think, like, look, and this is probably hopeless, and I could be delusional, but...
You are delusional.
Well, sure, but, like, say... I feel like a better case scenario is somebody can come in and convince Embiid and this team that they can work without him being the focal point. Joel Embiid can still be a contributor on a great basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't need this to be the Joel Embiid show. So, like, I would almost rather just look. Like, this is coming from a place of I know we're stuck with him,
mm-hmm.
and it's very difficult to move off him. So why not just? If they could get a different voice in here, somebody who's going to build around him better or build around Maxey Edgecombe better, whatever, that includes Embiid, Paul George, then so be it. I almost like that scenario a little bit better.
So
than keeping a general manager who I don't think has done a good enough job just to move off of one of their better players.
Yeah, and it's probably more what we're talking about, a short-term relief than a long-term relief, right? Because Morey would still be here in this hypothetical. The other thing to keep an eye on with the... with the Embiid thing, he has 3 years left. His contract just begins now. It's going to be very hard to find anyone that would take it. Hugh, there is a mechanism if they wait one more year, because just last summer, the Milwaukee Bucks waived, there's a stretch provision. It's almost like an NFL thing where you can cut a player And then if you owe him for 2 years, you could stretch the money over 5 years. So last summer, now this can't happen now. I think it has to only happen when there's 2 years left or less on a deal. So there is, Hugh, there is a reality where they keep Embiid for one more year, try to trade him. If no one will take him, they stretch him if they don't want him here anymore. And that would mean instead of 2 years left, they stretch the money over five, and he really could be gone after next season.
But doesn't he have to retire?
No.
He doesn't have to retire.
No, they could basically cut him and stretch the money. It's like an NFL mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take he'd be owed what, $125 million after this
because
season?
Because wasn't there something where they were talking about when he did the knee thing? He went and did the knee thing. If he couldn't come back, that he could like medically leave the NBA or something like that, and that all the money,
medical retirement or something.
Yeah, something like that, and the money wouldn't count against the cap or something like that. So that's what I thought you was talking about.
Yeah. So if you waive a player again, it can't happen yet. It could happen a year from now, though. They could waive Embiid maybe a year from now. So it doesn't have to be a trade for them to get out of it down the line.
Yeah, I guess like in this scenario, we're bringing back Daryl Morey so that he can send picks away and Joel Embiid is essentially what we're getting at here.
Yeah, I mean it is. It is.
Go away.
So that's a how bad do you want to move off of Embiid?
I
don't want to move off him that bad.
Yeah. But I don't want Morey here either. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, it's
a conundrum.
Well, and Morey's got to go first because he's easier to just fire. Meanwhile, Embiid's got this huge contract. 215-592-9494. Tom in Upper Darby is up. What's up, Tom?
Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, Tom. What's up?
Hey, good. All right. You guys got to help me and you got to synthesize my thoughts. So I got 8 bullet points, but stop me like a 5-year-old.
Eight?
At the beach with cotton candy, it just let me run on by.
All right, it's like when Hugh is long talking. We know when to stop you.
Yeah, but it's your guys' show. Okay, so first things first. Thank you, as always. How do you do a show every day for 4 hours professionally? Well, I actually have an inkling because I've been in business, out of business, back in business, 58 years. So I learned some stuff. So thank you. Ton of work. Let's see. First things. Morey's not getting fired. I can explain and move on. The whole crux of my talk changed with Aaron and previous callers just because I had a whole bunch of words I was going to say. I'm like, wait a minute. I agree with what they're saying. You got to boycott. But here's the stipulation. So one man's pleasure could be another man's pain. Okay, so I want to boycott. I would. However, if I had zero money and $10 and I was able to bring my son for the first time, I'm bringing him no matter what. If they put signs up, say, this is me and my son.
Right. Tom, that's why it's hard to get an entire city, fan base, region to boycott, right? Because
that's not going to happen.
It's not. Now, if enough people start having apathy to the team, that eventually that reverberates. TV, ratings go down and less people there. Season ticket base goes down. But it's not going to be an all-at-once thing.
Yeah, people going to the Sixers.
Yeah, it'll take time for them to feel it.
Agree wholeheartedly, and therefore, we can't do picks and forks and stuff they did in the wintertime. We got to send strongly worded letters to Harris. Strongly worded emails and letters, very kindly saying, could you please just forget about basketball and concentrate on other things?
Please stop. And yeah, then, we'll have Hugh write the first email to Josh Harris.
It'd be mean and scathing.
Yes.
I can do that.
Maybe I'll walk around the city and have them signed. Anyway, I'm ready to move on. But if you got
go to number two, Tom. Go ahead.
That was number one.
That was five.
That was five. Oh, thank God.
Wait, did you start with five?
I'm sorry,
all right. What number are we on now?
That's five.
God help us.
That's what we're on five. I beg for your help. Remember, I said
yes. I know. He did ask for help.
No, you're good.
All right, so go to number six. What do you got at six?
Okay, so. Human nature is playing a big part in this, you know what I mean? That's just the hugest thing. Jalen Hurts, nature is a competitor, a winner, a kind, good soul. But 11th grade, I learned how to dunk the basketball. Oh, no, I didn't. I touched the rim. It took me all summer. And I grew 2 inches and 30 pounds. On my best day, I could never dunk my best. So, in other words, we want Jalen to be 6'10", Tom Brady. With Jalen's moves, it's impossible. So I thank him for what he is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's sure, of course. Yeah, I mean, 6'10" is a little tall, but yeah, no, I get it. We want it to be able to throw over the middle with rhythm and timing and anticipation.
Yep. And the last thing, real quick,
number eight.
Me versus you. I will never be as strong on my best day when I was about 26, 240 squat and 350. He would laugh at me gently and say, Tom, you're a good kid, but you will never, ever, ever touch me. In a professional setting, I could never do what these guys do. So I show respect for all of them and you guys, too.
Well, Tom, we appreciate that. Tom, good phone call. So Tom went 1 through 8. I didn't realize we had got through 1 through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, it kind of went kind of fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe combine a few.
That's fine. Good.
Yeah. I mean,
Thank God.
I appreciate the caller that puts the bullet points together. I mean, yes. He's trying, right?
I mean, that's what I, you know, you got to appreciate, the people that actually write down stuff before they call.
Speaking of writing down, Hugh Douglas does have a new notebook.
I got a new notebook. It's red, but it's okay. I guess red, you know.
It's a little.
Well, hold on. It's Philly season now. We're turning the page.
It's a little petite.
It's petite. A little. I mean, I got to write a little closer, but it's cool. It'll work.
Totally enthused with the
beggars
can't be choosers.
Yeah, there it is, Kyle. So I'm okay with it. It's red and it's okay.
Have you thought about acquiring your own notebook at the store where you can pick out whatever you want?
You buy something? Crazy question.
It's doing too much.
Okay, have you written in your new notebook?
Yes.
Yet? Oh, what did you write?
You want to see what I wrote, John? You want to see what I wrote?
I'm not sure now.
I said, starts with the Red Sox.
Wow!
I wrote it in blue. You see that? He said, starts with the Red Sox. Hey, I don't mean mess around. This notebook is about business.
Wow.
This notebook, only thing I hate is that
back.
I lost all my fire-ass takes.
I know. But you really, you're writing down takes?
I'll be writing out fire-ass takes.
How are you going to come up with more?
Nah, you know, I got to figure it out. I got to break the notebook in, but with these fire-ass takes.
It's almost
like what? Give me an example. You brainstorming something?
Well, I've been brainstorming.
What do you got?
Man. Some of these takes that I have is borderline reckless speculation and all this other stuff.
Well, we like those.
Yeah,
those are good.
You know, it's a little controversial. Some of these takes I have the last couple of days.
Good.
I went down the rabbit hole.
Good.
You know, I've been on like social media and stuff and looking at some of the stuff.
Well, that's dangerous. Okay.
We told you about that.
So that's why I'm like, I got to tone it back, and then you know that explicit word that I was using last week who called to use it today? Chris used it today a little bit.
Well, you basically led everyone to do that.
Yeah, but I'm trying to lay off.
You've opened the floodgates.
Yeah, I did. So everybody's kind of using it now.
I never thought about it that you write down your takes. Like
I'm laying low.
Fire ass takes. No
fire. Fire ass low. Fire ass takes.
Well, football season.
Oh, yeah.
See if you're fantasizing about Dak again.
Fantasizing is crazy.
Now, did you write down fantasize about Dak and just wait for the right moment to unleash it on the air?
We were talking, and I was like, I said it's kind of curious because Dak puts up gaudy numbers in the regular season. I was like, wonder what that would look like.
So you did the find it interesting. I did find it fascinating.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah. I did the find it interesting thing.
Like Tobias and stuff.
Caramel cookie. Still in the playoffs, huh?
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
2-2, I believe, against the Caps. Yeah, it's probably going to be Pistons next series.
Still in the playoffs.
He got the last laugh.
Yeah.
Harden or Harris is moving on to the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah, that's great.
Tough look on Daryl.
It's not great. It is not. Let's go to Rob in Overbrook. What's up, Rob?
What's up, guys? Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, Rob. What's up?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I was talking to Kyle, and you know what? Daryl Morey is not going anywhere because he is doing exactly what Josh Harris wants him to do. So you don't fire a man who's doing exactly what you tell him to do, especially if the fans in Philadelphia continue to support the team. That's the big problem.
Well, you're probably right on that. Assuming that what is the objective? Get under the luxury tax, compete enough, but don't win a championship. If that's what Harris wants, then sure.
Kind of felt like that.
Then he's doing a fine job. If that's the objective around here,
he's doing a great job. And it's like the guy said, like here's the thing, Joe. And when I was in high school, the Philadelphia 76ers went 9-73. I went to about 25 home games, and that team. They would get smoked in the first half of every game. I mean, every game it was like they would lose them by 30 or 40 points. I saw them lose by 30 points to the Knicks with Walt Frazier. I saw them lose about 30 points with Seattle with Spencer Haywood. Portland came in with Sidney, which was a rookie, and he smoked them. They smoked them. But everybody smoked them. You know, the Lakers with Wilt. They smoked them. But that team had more competitive fire than the Sixers do now.
The nine-win team had more competitive fire than this team. I mean, this team did at least win a game seven against Boston. I mean,
because here's the thing, Joe. They lost those 73 games. It was lack of talent. It was really never a lack of trying. And this team has a lot of talent, but they lose games from the lack of trying. And that's a big and that's sad. And that's really sad. I don't support the Sixers now. I would never go down there and spend my hard earned money watching these guys, because I don't think that they bringing in playoff P and bringing in
Captain Cancun. You know,
bringing in James Harden. Bringing in James Captain Harden before Cancun, that.
Funny.
Yeah, these guys are quitters, man. And I can't spend hard-earned money watching these guys, man. I would never do it. Now, getting back to Jalen, you know, there was a story a couple of years ago that he worked out with A.J. Brown and the other receiver.
Devontae.
Yeah, Devontae. There was a story that they were working out, and they were somewhere working out. So I don't think this is the first time he's done that with receivers. But I it's like you said, Joe. The guy, he will embrace it now, but the story will be, will he be able to execute it when the season starts?
Yeah, that's everything. And then also, Rob, good phone call. Once things don't go right, there's going to be ups and downs. Every team has them. You know, if the offense is sputtering for a half, I mean, Hugh, part of that story we heard a month ago was he would change plays, right? He would kind of do his own thing.
Yeah.
Do we do less of that now? Do we do none of that now? Do we do some of that now? I mean, that's...
Well, I think if that's the case, then, like I said, I feel like there's going to be... If Jalen does that, if he improvises as much as he's done in the past, they're probably going to call him out. If he's not running the offense the way that the offense is supposed to be ran.
Who's going to call him out?
Mannion. Gonna call him out. I think you have no choice at that point. Here's the problem for me when you talk about these stories and these leaks and everything. It's always after the fact. You know, you sit up there in the press conferences and you hear that Jalen was doing this, that, and the third, right? But nobody can validate that during the course of the season. That happens after the fact.
But is it a good working relationship to call out a player? I mean, coaches don't typically call out players publicly.
I hear you, Joe, but there's a way if the offense... Okay, so my question would be this. How are we going to know if the offense is not running the way it's supposed to run if nobody says anything?
Well, I mean, I think...
That's the situation that we're in. How do we know?
Well, they know.
Well, okay.
The players and the coaches
okay,
know.
Just like last year. Just as used last year for an example. We all know who the sacrificial lamb was when it comes to that offense.
Yeah, Petula.
And we all know what the stories were after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Kevin Petula, and I understand you say don't call anybody out, but if Kevin Petula would have sat there in the press conferences and he didn't toe the company line and say, hey, you know, it's not all on me, or if, hey, the quarterback needs to do that.
Wait. If he says it's not all on me, he'll get roasted here.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But that's why we're in the position we're in now, because nobody said that. So how are we going to know what the offense is going to look like if nobody says this is not the way the offense is supposed to be
ran? My guess is it will be people without their name attached to quotes.
Well, see, we can't do that. Well, we're done with that, because doesn't hunt.
We're not done with that.
Hold on. There's another
Nobody's
way.
Ever Hugh, done with
there
that.
There is another way. I mean, they could do everything behind closed doors. Team meeting. Mm-hmm. Put the play up and in front of everyone. Jalen, that's not where the ball goes.
Well, no, they'll probably do that first.
And that's, to me, that's the best way to do it, right? Then, like, just football stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, Joe, because there has been a conscious effort to besmirch, that's the word I'm going to use.
Yeah, but if Mannion gets up there after week one and says, why did you guys only score 7 points today? Well, the quarterback messed up every read.
Well, he ain't got to say it like that, but he can say...
How would he say it?
He'd say, okay, well, there were certain plays that were called that weren't ran correctly.
Oh, no.
And
no,
then,
no,
you know,
no.
You ask the quarterback...
This place, is, go well. This place is a bleep storm for a week.
I'm trying to tell you. Okay, so how are we going to know if Jalen's not doing this, that, or the third?
They won't pay him. They'll take him off the field at some point.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
I think we'll be able to piece that together.
We still don't know who really was the problem with this offense now.
I think we do. I think we do.
We don't know.
We have an idea. We just don't really want to say it.
No, I'm just saying that we don't.
I mean,
know.
The article AJ begging for months to get out of here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all points to something. Same thing.
I know. Well, I think the latest I've been seeing on Twitter is like, we still don't know why AJ actually wants out. We all know why AJ wants out.
No, guys, we don't.
Guys, yes, we do.
Please,
we just don't want to address
use
it.
Use your brains. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. Daryl Morey, should he be fired? Do you expect it to be? Both, yes, for me. I think he should be. I expect it to be. Jalen Hurts, do you expect a new Hurts this year? Good report from Jeremy Fowler. He's all in with the new offense. Where do you come down on Hurts and what will be new? And how new it will be this season. Plus, we're going to play a little detective on the other side, see what we could piece together about the NFL schedule based on what we now know, and we'll react to what we found out last night. The Eagles with a big matchup in Dallas late in the season. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tired of your lawn looking like the losing team? Sorry. It's about the third time I've done this. Step up your game with Turf Tech, the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. Their custom turf looks real, feels real, and plays even better. No mowing, no mud, no stress. Contractors, landscapers, homeowners, buy their durable premium turf at one of their dozens of distributors or go directly pick up in 24 hours or get it delivered in just 2 to 3 days. Visit turftech.com. That's T-U-R-F-T-E-K. Turf Tech, the yard you've always dreamed of.